How can INEC parties and voters ensure that Beavers isn't bypassed? Did politicians force the CBN's hand? It was a big weekend, Lagos. Let's talk. Trucks. 8 people were killed yesterday in Ujolegba because a truck carrying a 20-foot container fell off a bridge and crushed a commercial bus. It killed 2 children and 7 adults. That was yesterday. Today, another truck fell. This one was carrying a 40-foot container at Sawmill going towards Tokwemuanda Bridge. On the live stream, I'm playing video for you of the moment that the truck fell over. Thankfully, there were no casualties with this one, but the truck is blocking most of the road. LASMA is working to remove it. You can see it on our live stream. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube Nigeria Info FM. Now, in both cases, the container was latched to the truck. I'm pointing this out because in the past, we have had lots of problems with unlatched containers falling off. But clearly, that's not the only problem. We also have a problem with roadworthiness of these trucks and bad driving. Because a normal truck driving or driven normally shouldn't tip over on a clear road like you see happening in that video. Now, we can't speculate much about whether it was flat tires or broken axle or shaft or an imbalance, but clearly something was wrong there. You can see for yourself, you're watching it on the live stream, Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook, YouTube Nigeria Info FM. We also have to ask ourselves if the authorities pay enough attention to the roadworthiness of these trucks. I mean, we have VIO on the roads. We have all these hoops that they make private cars jump through. These trucks, are they being put through the same thing? If they are, how are so many of them able to get on the road in such poor conditions? And then, of course, I mentioned the bad driving. We heard from an eyewitness that the accident yesterday that killed the children and the men and women was because the truck driver was reckless, drove one way, allegedly, and was driving at full speed, allegedly, and so toppled over. What do the authorities need to be doing differently if we want safer container trucks on our roads? 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. Women, call us on 01465-7190. How much are you buying fuel now? Remember to tell me that as well. Where are you buying from? How much are you buying for? Are you buying still at 190, 175, 165? Are you buying at 300, 350, 400, 420? In some places I hear, in some parts of Nigeria, they're buying at 450 even. 99.3. Hello.
Hello, President Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for calling. What's your name?
My name is Solomon.
Welcome, Solomon.
Yeah. Honestly speaking, with the way the country is going now, it says it's only God that will help us.
Okay.
Because we are really suffering. As for me, I'm buying for 370 naira,
wow.
350 naira, 315 naira, depending on how much I meet it, how much I meet it in the filling station.
My God.
Hello?
Where are you buying from? Where are the filling stations located?
In Jakonde. There's one called Jensco. They said 370 naira.
Mm.
And the most annoying part is that even with the price, you still have to queue.
Mm.
That's the annoying part.
Mm.
Okay, for instance now, like me, I'm an Uber driver.
Okay.
If I buy this for 370,
mm-hmm.
and I carry passenger, how much do you expect me to collect
to from
them?
From the
because
passenger,
sometimes, yeah. in some of the trip,
mm.
even what Uber and Bolt is bringing up,
mm.
it will be difficult for us to maintain our car and even take home little things. Because by the time you buy for 370,
mm.
you have to now start telling your rider that you can't carry them on the price on the aisle. Because
right.
if you continue doing that, you will be out of the business.
Right.
That is just the honest truth.
Right.
Mine now is that, thank God it's happening this way. So it is left for we Nigerians to be wise whenever we want to vote this coming election. Nobody needs to be told on who to vote for. But if you are passing through this suffering, you should jolly well know who you want to vote for. But the thing is that there are people who also love suffering. Even though if you sell this for 800 naira, there are people who will still be buying it. Okay, currently now, there's a protest going on Benin, in Benin Sapele, Auchi Road.
Mm.
Gradually, if the government do nothing about it, it will spread all over the country. Because the suffering is too much. You see, some people who even have private car now cannot take it to the office anymore. What they do, they just pack it and use transport. And even the transport is not pocket-friendly at all. Because where you used to enter maybe commercial bus for 500 naira before, it's 1,500 naira now. The country is tough. We are finding it very difficult to cope. And the annoying part is that government is doing nothing about it. They are not even making any statement. They just take us for a ride. They believe they can do whatever they want to do. There is corruption in every system of the government, which is bad. Okay, look at the new Naira note. You printed this money, but you are not releasing it. That is getting into the hand of few people who has money to bribe their way or buy it from the bank. And it's very bad.
Solomon, thank you so much for calling. I let Solomon talk for a while because he seemed like he had a lot to say. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing? What's your name?
Sandra.
Good afternoon. What's your name, ma'am?
Yes. On the issue, my name is Didi. On the issue of the container, you know, this is something that happens all the time. What is the government doing? You know, like, I'm so scared of driving. When I see containers, I just take it. I can even park my car by the roadside and wait for them to go wherever, and I keep a very far distance from them. This thing keeps happening, and I expect that the government would, you know, all this, whoever is supposed to take care of that, to take it. We can't keep waiting for things to happen, then we react. Something happens, then we react. These are people's lives. And I can assure you that the tanker or the container driver did not die, but he killed 9 people. You know, and that is so unfair. So we just have to do something about this. We can't just keep wasting life. There are people dying from headsmen, Boko Haram, then there's violence here and there. Then the few people that leave their house to go to an honest, to look for an honest living, then the container just lands on them and kills them, and the container kind of goes away scot-free. That's very unfair. We should do something about those containers. They are really a menace. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling, Didi. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3, hello. Hello. Good afternoon. What's your name, sir? Well, that's unfortunate. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Oh my God, Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
My name is Uche. I'm an Uber driver. Oh. I'm supporter of what Mr. Solomon said.
Okay.
The guy that I called earlier on.
Okay.
I don't know, throughout last week that I worked, I didn't even know how much I saved. All I knew was that I was able to work. If I work, I go home, I eat. Most of my money was spent on buying petroleum. Imagine staying on the queue for like 4 hours, 5 hours, just to buy fuel at the rate of 290 naira, 300 naira. How much are we going to get from the job? How many hours do we have to work? Most of us don't even have private cars. How do we remit to the owners of the car? Imagine, I pay 30,000 naira every week for this vehicle I'm driving. How do I get 30,000 naira, including my maintenance, including my car wash, including my tires, including, you know, my internet, my calls, and everything. What is going on? What is going on? What are we going to do? Where are we going to run to? Okay, now look at the other aspect of this container and everything. Well, I won't really blame the container drivers and the association that is, you know, under them and everything. I'll blame the Lagos State government because they are aware of all these things. They are aware of all these things, but because of the money they are getting from these guys, they won't do anything. Come to Egbeda at night. Come to Egbeda, this Akumoje axis. Come there around 10, around 11. So you see young boys coming out on the road with checkpoints. You will see 2 to 3 checkpoints before you drive from Egbeda to Ugondo, so and so. You will see up to like 8 to 10 different checkpoints. These boys are on the road waiting for these trailer drivers so that they can collect money from them at night when they are supposed to move. Now, if they are trying to avoid those ones and say, okay, let us move in the daytime when those folks will not be on the road at night, they still have to face last month, they still have to face road safety, they still have to face the DIU, they still have to face the police. So, what are they going to do? Whatever they feel like doing, and it is wrong. Because they are the ones who are going to be affected at the end of the day. They are buying petrol at a high price, we are losing our citizens, and the government is not saying anything about it. The state government is not saying anything about it. The federal government is not saying anything about it. For how long are we going to continue like this? It is well, Sandra. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Uche, for calling. 99.3, hello.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. What's your name, ma'am?
I'm Naye.
Naye, yes. Welcome.
Calling from Ibadan, yes.
Good to have you on the show.
This truck, you hear one now. It is 1 month, one trouble from them. The government close eyes to these things. Is it that they are not aware? Is it or is it because they are not being affected first? Let me ask. All the police and numerous agencies on the road extorting money from these people, don't they observe that some of these trucks, the containers on top of them are not well knotted? Their screws are off. Nothing is binding them to the vehicle itself. When you go to Semehia, you cannot find a trailer, a container that is not tied to the truck. What is the work of these people on the road? Extracting money from them. Where from Wharf or the depot, where they're coming from, they are not checked. They are not examined. All they know is that money they want to collect. Why? And I thought they said all these things should move at night only. They make law on papers, radio, and that is all. Bye-bye, Sandra. It's so painful. So painful.
It is. Noye, thank you so much for calling. I should mention, however, that the two trucks that fell, both yesterday and today, were actually tied to the trucks. But they still fell yesterday as a result of the alleged reckless driving of the driver. Today, we simply watched the truck topple over. You can see it on our live stream for yourself. Now, this weekend, everyone was talking about the Osun Election Tribunal. On Friday, the tribunal ruled that Boyega Oyetola won last year's Guba election, not Ademola Adeleke, who was sworn in. If the appeal court and Supreme Court uphold that judgment, Adeleke will step aside and Oyetola will take over as governor. We've seen lots of reactions to the judgment and to how the tribunal interpreted the data from BVAS. Oyetola and the APC presented a BVAS report from INEC. The number of accredited voters in that report is lower than the number of votes in INEC's official results. Based on that, the APC argued that the INEC result is inflated with so-called overvoting. The tribunal agreed. Now, the PDP and INEC argued against this. INEC claimed that the BVAS report APC presented was a preliminary report. They claim that this preliminary report is not the official BVAS report. They call that one the synchronized BVAS report. That BVAS report came out a few days later. And by that report, there was no overvoting because the number of accredited voters was higher. But that brings up a very obvious question, right? Why didn't the first BVAS report and the synchronized BVAS report show the same number of accredited voters? That was the first obvious thing that jumped at me when I saw, you know, the details of this story. APC said, it's because of fraud. They say INEC went back to inflate the BVAS figure to help Adeleke. And the tribunal agreed. But INEC says that the answer is simpler and less sinister. They say that each BVAS machine at each polling unit sends its updated list of accredited voters to the INEC server. However, because of connectivity and other issues, those updates don't all come in at the same time. That's why INEP keeps updating the synchronized BVAS report until all the BVAS machines have updated the server. According to INEC, when they gave the initial BVAS report to the APC, it came with a caveat that this was not the complete report. And also, according to INEC, the Electoral Act gives them 10 days to produce the final synchronized BVAS report. So they say, INEC says, that they acted within the law when they brought that final report. INEC also told the tribunal that they had the final right to determine which BVAS report was the authoritative one. The tribunal disagreed. I'm very curious about what's going to happen next. Tomorrow, I'm going to have a few lawyers on the Big Hard Fact to look at the details of this case, to look at the judgment, because this judgment may go a long way to decide how BVAS is used in the general elections. You have both the PDP and the APC claiming that the other side has found a way to bypass the actual report's results. So I will see whom the public believes is being honest here. But I also want to know what you think can be done to make sure that the political parties don't bypass BVAS to enable overvoting, or don't use the courts to misinterpret BVAS data to get the results that they want. 0700-993-993-993, that's for men. Women, call me on 01465-7190. And remember to tell me how much you're buying fuel for right now. Where are you buying? How much are you buying for? Are you standing in long queues to do it? Let's talk. And yes, you can talk about our first story as well. We've got, we've got about 1 minute. So I have time to take a call that will last 1 minute. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Sandra.
Thanks for calling. What's
Hello,
your name?
Sandra.
Hi, how are you? What's your name? Hello.
My name is Naye.
Hi,
Naye. How are you, baby?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Adele, are you there? I say hi to you. And number two again.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra, okay, before I proceed, I would like to make my father make sure I don't shoot.
Okay.
And they know the word, they know they're not good. They go, let's do the cock fight for their mind. Maybe they really know say they're my fans. Yeah. Oh, my. Happiness is free. I cannot come and kill myself in Nigeria. I'm not going to look at them. Okay. Now, I'm going to have it down for their mind. I'm going to know Allah. Sandra.
Yes.
Now, you know, everything. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you very much for calling. Okay. We'll take a break. When we come back from this break, let's talk a bit more about the Oshun Tribunal verdict. Lagos, what do you think can be done to make sure political parties don't bypass BVAS to enable overvoting, or don't use the courts to misinterpret BVAS data to get the results that they want? I just brought you details from the tribunal's verdict in the Oshun State election. Their verdict has, of course, ruled that Bwego Yetola won last year's Guber election, not Ademola Adeleke, who was sworn in. Now, of course, Adeleke can go to the appeal court and the Supreme Court. If they uphold that judgment, Adeleke will have to step aside. Oyetola will have to take over as governor. And I told you what the tribunal stated was the reason for their decision. Oyetola presented a BVAS report from INEC. The number of accredited voters in that report lower than the number of votes in INEC's official results. So based on that, APC argued that INEC's result is inflated with overvoting. Tribunal agreed. PDP and INEC said, no be so. The report where we give you, no be the final report where we supposed to give you. Electoral Act gives us 10 days to present before you a more complete report, because the report keeps getting updated until the entire process is over. Tribunal say, now you know it's either talk or not for a pocket with that one. And so here we are. And like I said, tomorrow I have two lawyers join me on the show to take a look at the details of this case, to take a look at the judgment, because we have a general elections coming up. This judgment may go a long way to decide how BVAS is used in that election, because you have PDP and APC claiming that the other side found a way to bypass the actual results from BVAS. So as a member of the public listening to this, who do you think is being more honest here? 0700-993-993-993, and still tell me how much you're buying fuel, where you're buying it, if you have to queue for it. I've got women calling me on 01465-7190. You should call as well. 99.3, hello.
Hi, Sandra.
How are you doing? Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I'm okay.
Yeah, my name is Tokwe.
Hi, Tokwe. Welcome.
Yeah, you got the Oshun election.
Mm-hmm.
We heard that according to the electoral law, that if for the overvoting issue, if there is an overvoting, and after the election, and the total result is higher than the total accredited. They said the electoral law said that the presiding officer has the right to cancel that election or that polling unit on the spot of that. So what happened to the polling officer, the presiding officer that day? What are they observing? Why was all those things not cancelled until after a month of serving in the government? This is not a fair claim. And this is not really giving us a confidence on the beavers on this upcoming election. Something has to be done, and we need to know the facts.
Okay. Seriously. All right. Thank you very much for calling. Tomorrow, we're going to have lawyers who will hopefully help us make it a bit clearer. We've got Lucky on the line. Hi, Lucky.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Yes, about the Osun election, there's fire on the mountain. Oh.
Okay.
Serious fire. Please, can I talk about the extension of the new Naira note?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I will say it's okay since it's not after the election, but government should learn to, you know, stand by its word. They should learn to stand by their word. All of a sudden now, the Senate are now speaking for us. During the pandemic, when people were hungry, where was the Senate when the palliatives were discovered? What of waste scarcity, clean of the poor masses, poor power supply, unemployment, kidnapping, everything? Now, with the CBN Naira redesign, they become the spokesman of the poor. Nigerians, let's shine our eyes. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. We've got Rita calling from Lakowe. Hi, Rita.
Yeah, Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, welcome.
Happy weekend, Sandra.
Okay, thank
Sandra,
you.
This morning I was almost crying. Because I forgot what to say when I was talking to Sherry. Because I understand, in fact, how are they going to tell me that after the election has been conducted, they did not cancel the election, and now they are coming to tell us that, in fact, they've even swear in Adeleke, they want to collect it back and say, come on, Sandra, this is election. We have a very big election coming up in February. And we're here talking about just one state. They are having over voters, Sandra, for God's sake. See, this one is not giving me assurance. So to be sincere, or INEC, whatever they are doing, wherever they are, whoever it is or anybody, please try as much as possible. Make this thing right so that Nigerians will vote for their right. I know that this thing is going to work out for us. Not as if after everything, they'll still come back and say the election was wrong, people should come out and vote again. Before then, everybody will be tired and say, okay, let's manage. I'm not going to manage, oh, this 2023. I'm not going to manage. I want the right man for the right job. Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you, Richard, for calling. All right, let me quickly bring you our final story and then we can keep talking about all of it. This weekend, the CBN blinked and postponed the Naira swap deadline. It's now February 10th. But the big question is why? That's the big question. Why? Just one day before the extension, the CBN tweeted that there was no going back. One day before they extended it. In fact, it didn't even reach one day. 20 hours before they announced an extension, they said no going back. So what could have happened in less than 24 hours to make them go back? Many analysts are pointing to possible political pressure. Last week, we talked about Bola Tinubu, the APC presidential candidate, saying that the swap was intended to sabotage his campaign. None of his opponents said the same thing, but the PDP's Atiku Abubakar did appeal to the CBN to move the deadline. Then there's the Kano State Governor, Ganduje, and President Buhari. The president was scheduled to visit Kano this week. Suddenly, Ganduje asked him to postpone the visit. He wrote, quote, deeply concerned with the hardship caused by the limited time given for halting the use of old Naira notes by the Central Bank of Nigeria and for security reasons, Kano State Governor Abdullahi Umar Ganduje reveals that the state resolved and wrote to presidency that the visit of the president to commission some projects to be postponed, end quote. Then after the CBN extended the deadline, Ganduje said that the visit was back on. Said, quote, seeing is believing.